Parshas Noach, Pshischa on the Parsha. Let's do a little Chassidus. So the beginning of Noach, we talked about this on Tuesday, there's so many interesting Ma'amari Chazal, so many interesting descriptions of Noach himself that come at the beginning of the Parsha. We just started, Mark, don't worry. Welcome.
Thank you.
We have, at the beginning of the Parsha, right? Ela told us Noach ish tzadik tamim haya v'dor asav. Rashi tells us, you know, some explain it to the good, some explain it to the bad, that he was only a tzadik b'dor asav, but not another generation, or he was a tzadik even b'dor asav. If you remember last year, this is when we introduced the topic of Rav Simcha Bonim's two pockets, right? That famous phrase from Rav Simcha Bonim, everyone's got to go around with a note in each pocket. Bishvili nivra olam, Anochi afar ve'efer, that I'm nothing. I'm a great, am I nothing? And he says this is what's included within that Rashi. Some explain that Noach was only great in his generation, and really he wasn't so great. And some explain that Noach was even great in his generation, that he would have been even better. And everyone has to oscillate between those two poles. Anyways, that's what we talked about last year. You want to listen to it, you can go on to YU Torah, you can go on to Apple Podcasts, and look up Pshischa on the Parsha for Noach of 2019, or 5780. But now we go to a different understanding of that pasuk. And this is something, when did I write about this? Oh, I wrote about this on Sukkot. The second day of Sukkot, or the first day of Sukkot, I wrote about Sukkot decorations, if you remember. And I quoted this Rashi. Rashi tells us, Ela told us Noach ish tzadik. So it's very interesting. The generations of Noach was righteous. Well, which one is it? Was Noach, well, are we going to tell the generations of Noach, or are we going to talk about Noach? Why are we making an interruption with the statement? Ela told us Noach, and then it says Noach was a righteous man. So Rashi tells us that really, the generations of a person are their Maisim Tovim. Told Osein Shal Tzadikim Maasim Tovim. And that's why Ela told us Noach, the Pasuk interrupts to tell us that Noach's generations, what's going to last, his legacy, is not only his physical children, but spiritually it will be his righteousness that will live on and that will carry on. We quoted from Rav Moshe Feinstein in that drasha, that printed drasha, that this works the other way also, that our Masim Tovim have to be looked at like toldos, that our good deeds have to be looked at like children. That just like we would never pick a favorite child, so too we should never look at our mitzvot and say, oh, this one's a good one and that one's not a good one. You love every child equally, and therefore you should love your mitzvot equally. You should never degrade yourself into thinking you're not good at doing this mitzvah or you're not good at doing that mitzvah, but rather you should think that, look at what I did a mitzvah. Could it be better? Maybe. But you should be proud of your mitzvos. Interesting and very important interpretation from Rav Moshe. But let's learn from Rabbi Yaakov of Alexander. He's actually quoting from Rav Simcha Bonim himself. Sorry, not Rav Simcha Bonim, from Yehudi HaKadosh. We've talked about the Yehudi HaKadosh before. The Yehudi HaKadosh, I believe his name was Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinowitz. Although I get him confused with the Choza of Lublin, who also, his name was Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak. But he might have had a different last name, and I always get them confused. Either way, what's interesting is that the Yehudi HaKadosh, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak, was the student of the Choza of Lublin. He and Rav Simcha Bonim actually broke off from the Choza, from the seer of Lublin, those familiar with the Choza, and they create what we know now as Pshischa. But that's for a different time. And he says the following. HaYehudi HaKadosh Mipshischa Haya Omer. He used to say, Kol Adam Ragil Lit'on. This is such a fascinating idea, and I've thought about this idea before. Not in this context, but in the context of what other people say sometimes. Kol Adam Ragil Lit'on. Everybody is so used to saying, Ki Einenu Amel V'Yageya Ela Bishvil Banav. I only work hard, I only put in the effort for my kids. I do everything for my kids, right? You've heard this before. Everything I do is for my kids. Says Yehudi HaKadosh, what else? Sheyigdulu v'yuyuhudim tovim ubnei Torah. I'm working hard, and I'm trying to get them the right education so that they'll grow up and become upstanding Jewish religious kids. right? Adults. Kasher habanim halalu misbagrim. And what happens when those kids get older? Shuv. Einam nosnim datam al atzmam v'tanim avheim. Ki kol amalam v'yigiyam eino ela b'shvil b'neim. They too continue the cycle. And while their parents raised them for them to be upstanding Jews, now they're raising their children only to be upstanding Jews. But what about themselves? What about doing things for themselves? Says the Yehudi HaKadosh, says the Yid HaKadosh. Where is the child who is actually going to be befitting this this righteousness? Lefikach amar kasuv. Therefore, the Torah says, Eile toldos Noach, Noach. What was the upbringing? What is the child, the offspring of Noach? Noach himself. Noach lo hizniach asatzmo. He didn't forget about himself. Hu asher haya haben haroyal ishmo. He is the child. He's not pushing off the importance of life to say that he has to do everything right because his child has to be brought up, but because he himself has to be brought up properly. That's what it means. Eila told us Noach, Noach. He is his own child. Asher haven ki gam alav mutal zachov alav odos elokim. He too has the obligation to fear and to serve Hashem, not so that his child will serve Hashem, but because he himself has to do it. V'zeo perusham shal advarim. That's what Rashi means. Toldoseim shal tzadikim ma'asim tovim. The offspring of the righteous is their own good deeds, meaning hatzadikim roim b'ma'aseim hatovim ki'ilu heim b'neihem. They look at their own righteous deeds as if they themselves are the children. Similar to what Rav Moshe says in the sort of the reversal of the conventional wisdom of understanding this Rashi, but he says that's what it means, that when a person should look at themselves, they should see that I am that child. I'm that child that my parents brought up. I'm that child that my grandfather, my grandmother sacrificed for. We should see ourselves as the culmination of our parents, and not to say that what we're doing now is for our children only. Our children are obviously an important motivation for things. And I remember there was once this Musar Shmuz from one of my Rebbeim from way back when. And it's a really great Musar Shmuz. It really gets me motivated. I haven't listened to it in a few years. But even the title of it is Best Musar Ever. It doesn't have a title. That's just what it's called. And that's how it circulates in certain circles, whatever. And I remember in this Musar Shmuz, he says, when I come home late at night, he's a Rebbe, so he's learning all day, but he says, when I come home from work late at night, and I realize I haven't learned yet. So he says, I have to sit down and learn so that my children will know that this is what you're supposed to do. So on the one hand, that's good Musar. You have to teach your children, and they have to see your Judaism. That's important, obviously. They have to see the values that you express so that they themselves know that that's what they should be doing. But on the other hand, when I heard this, I remember thinking this to myself, that's not why you should be learning when you get home. You should learn when you get home because you have to learn. You should be doing mitzvahs because you have to do mitzvahs. Not only because of your children. Sometimes we wrap everything into the children. The children are obviously important. But we shouldn't forget ourselves in the mix. We shouldn't lose ourselves in the shuffle of trying to raise our children. And that's what the Yehudi HaKadosh, who was Dafka, not a rabbi, whole backstory to that. But either way, that's what the Yehudi HaKadosh says is implied within this pasuk. Told us Noach is Noach. The generations of Noach are not necessarily only his kids, but they're himself. He saw himself as that generation that's supposed to be the upstanding Jew. Okay. Moving on from a little Noach talk. Let me just find my spot here. Seems to have lost it. Where is... I have a place here somewhere. Placeholder. Can't find it. Give me a second. Sorry. Okay, here it is. Okay. Let's go to Migdal Bavel. We talked a lot about Migdal Bavel on Tuesday. You can look at that class again to understand it. The introduction to it is very interesting, and I'm sneak peek, I might talk about this pasuk again in my drasha for Shabbos. But the Me'ah Shiloach has an interesting concept of what it means to have a lashon versus a safa. You'll notice the pasuk says, "Vayihi kol ha'aretz safa achat." This is the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, the beginning of the 11th chapter, where it introduces the Migdal Bavel, right? The generation of those who are going to build this tower. We talked all about what they wanted to do, and it says, "Vayihi kol ha'aretz safa achas." The entire land was one safa. In modern day Hebrew, that means language. But we know that there's another way to understand or to say the word language, at least biblically, and that is lashon. Right? That you speak in a language is a lashon. So the Me'ah Shiloach, Rev Mordechai Yosef Leiner, of the Ishbitzer, he says, V'lo ne'amar lashon achas. It doesn't say lashon. It doesn't say one language. What's the difference between a lashon and a sefa? If you think about your mouth for a second, what do we know the word lashon refers to? Lashon refers to your tongue, lashon. And a safa refers to your lips, sifatayim, like Hashem sifasai tiftach. Right? So it says, the Me'ah Shiloach, ki lashon ba'omek mashma'a zu lashon hakodesh. The depths of lashon, language, means lashon hakodesh, real Hebrew. Ki lashon hakodesh himash nitzba ba'omek halev v'noveya mishor shachayim. Because lashon hakodesh, the holy tongue, is that which is embedded deep within you. Hebrew and the holy tongue, lashon hakodesh, that's deep as part of your heart. That's who you are. The way that you speak, the words that you express, are a manifestation of your inner soul. Right, that's the sort of the Hasidish teich of lashon hakodesh, the tongue which is on the inside. It's coming from inside of you. V'noveh mishor shachayim, and it's coming from the root of your life. V'shar halashonos nikros lashon alagim. He quotes another pasuk. Fine, dor haflaga, the generation of the tower. How do you understand haflaga? Is an interesting word. Also, either way. If you look at Rashi on this pasuk, it says safa achat, and Rashi says they were speaking Hebrew. Lashon hakodesh, says the Me'ah Shiloach, that might be the language that they were speaking, but it was a safa. It was not a lashon. Even though they were speaking in Hebrew, in the holy tongue, quote unquote, aval zeh lo noveya mimkoros hapnimius mishor shehachayim. It wasn't an expression. When they spoke Hebrew, they weren't expressing it in the way that it was from the depths of their souls. Ela min hasafa v'lachutz. It was very superficial. Their speaking, their words, their conversations were very superficial. They weren't speaking from a depth connecting to their souls, but rather they were speaking from their lips, only on an outward, superficial way. That's how they were speaking to each other. And with that, fine. He quotes a whole question about the snake and how he was punished and why he wasn't punished for taking away his speech. And the truth is, he never had speech based on the same concept. Says the Me'ah Shiloach, and this is something that I would like to extrapolate from the Me'ah Shiloach, which is, how do we speak? Is our speech, meaning the way we speak and also the things we speak about, is it something which comes from a depth of who we are, or does it come from something superficial and I would say fleeting, or something which is not particularly a value based speech, right? What are the things that we talk about? Do we talk about things which are, because the same as Me'ah Shiloach says, you can speak about the same things, but sometimes that speech can be from the depths of your soul, and sometimes that could be from the external aspects of your life, the superficial aspects of your life. So for instance, let's take davening. When we daven, is our davening coming from an inner yearning to be close to Hashem, an inner value system of what the words are, or is it just something that we're doing by rote? And then I catch myself doing this all the time. I'll be the first one to admit it. Achat ha'ayim is animaskir hayom. That there are times, especially during Pesukim de Zimra, where I just find my lips going automatically. You ever do this? You find that while you're davening, your lips are moving, even though you haven't even controlled them, right? How are your lips doing that? Because it's a superficial muscle memory. Your lips are just moving. So that's a safa, that's not a lashon. So the point of the Me'ah Shilach, perhaps part of the point of the Me'ah Shilach, is that when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, when it comes to those things that are values in our life, like daven, like learning, how are we speaking about them? Is it in a conscious, purposeful way, or is it in a superficial, quick, and by rote way, muscle memory way? And I think we can really connect to that imagery of the Psuk de Zimra image of the person davening just because their lips are moving, but not because they're really feeling it inside. Oh. Lastly, let's get to Rav Yitzchak Avarka. Rav Yitzchak Mivarka, we quoted him, I think, last week also. We don't always quote him, so it's a 2 week in a row for Rav Yitzchak Avarka. Rav Yitzchak Avarka, another student of the Rav Simcha Banim, says on the medrash that we all know. This is an interesting medrash, and it's also an interesting question on the medrash. He says at the end of the parsha, we're introduced to Avram Avinu, and we're introduced to him from Or Kastim, which is a reference to this the following medrash. Heshlichu es Avram l'toch kivshan ha'esh. He was thrown into a fiery furnace. Right, that's the Or, that's the fire, Or Kastim. Kivshanesh al shesaraf es salame aviv, because he also destroyed or burned his father's idols. Vizeha nisayon harishon shenis nasebo Avram. And that is the first challenge that was given to Avram, the first test of Avram. Right? We know Avram had 10 tests. What the 10 tests are is up for debate. But the first one is being thrown into the furnace. Fascinating midrash. We spoke about this last year in our Tuesday class for Lech Lecha, so you can look at the Apple podcast for that, or YU Torah for that. A lot of good stuff to learn in this parsha and these parshios. But either way, v'tamhu, and they question this. There are those who wonder, ma gadluso shel Avram b'zeh? What's so great about Avram with this relative to everybody else? Harba Yehudim bechol hadoros masres nafshama kedushas Hashem. Was Avram the only person in Jewish history that gave up his life for Kiddush Hashem? Of course, it's great for everybody to do it. But why is Avram being singled out? This is one of the 10 nisyonos of Avram Avinu. Does that mean that everybody else had the same nisayon? Why do we focus on Avram specifically? Again, it's a little bit of an interesting question. The answer is better than the question. Like much, I think I once said that's the rule of Hasidic drushas. The answers are always better than the questions. It's not always the case, but oftentimes you'll find that the answers are the questions are a means to get to the answer, which are always very geschmack. Either way, Ella she'Avram haya az hayehudi hayachidi ba'olam. Specifically, Avram is praised for this because he was the only Jew in the entire world. Okay, therefore what? Uba ilav hasatan. His evil inclination said to him, Eich rashay atal asakin atzmecha. How are you allowed to endanger yourself? Mi yamshich es hashar sheres. Who's going to continue the chain? Umi yazkir es shem shamayim ba'olam. Who's going to continue the religion of Hashem in the world? Says the evil incarnation to Avram Avinu, Mutav shetachnea l'Nimrod. It would be better if you succumbed to Nimrod. Tishtachave l'mar Zayin. Look as if you're bowing down to the idol. V'tisha'er b'chayim. And you should stay alive. V'achar kach, and after that, Tafitz es shem Hashem ba'olam. Then you can teach everybody else about the world, about Hashem in the world. Heshiv lo Avram. Avram says back to the Satan. He says back to his evil incarnation. Ha'im ani kablon lahamtzi Yehudim la'Hashem Yisbarach? Is that my responsibility to make other Jews? That's not what my responsibility is. Fascinating phrase. I'm not responsible for making other Jews. Also sounds a little bit like the Yehudi HaKadosh that we started with about Noach. I'm not responsible to make other Jews. In this moment, I have a different responsibility. L'zeh yidag b'yachol v'atzmo v'alai l'kayim es ha-mitzvah shal yehari v'ayavor. Right now, I have a decision to make about doing a mitzvah. to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to accomplish, to fulfill the Yeharek V'Yavor, to be killed and not to transgress. Mitzvah Bal Yadiv Akaimena. A mitzvah came to me and I have to fulfill it. V'emsor es nafshi HaKadusha Shema Gadol. And I will therefore sacrifice my soul for the sake of Hashem's great name. A fascinating way to look at this, that Avram Avinu's test was not just the test of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, which is obviously a daunting and unbelievably difficult task, but it was also the added element that he making this decision was effectively stopping Judaism in its tracks. He could have easily justified to himself, and the truth is, not to mix in some Litvak pessimism into the Hasidic drash, there is reason to actually say this, that you're allowed to actually be Yavor and not Yehareg for the sake of saving all of the Jewish people. Famous medrash about Esther Malka might have done this when she had relations with Achashverosh. Also a medrash about how Aaron was part of the Egel Hazav, and the reason is because they had already killed Chor, and if the Navi and the Kohen die in the same day, so then the Mashiach's never going to come. So there are concepts like this, that if the entirety of the Jewish people is at stake, you're allowed to actually violate the big three. But let's put sort of the Litvak phrase on the side for a second and understand the implications of this statement from Yitzhak Varka, that Avram Avinu was tasked with starting a new religion. He had found out about Hashem. He had worked against the entirety of the civilization at that time. He just broke all of his father's idols. He's trying to create some kind of cognizance of Hashem. And now he's being told to give it all up. He's not only being asked to kill himself, but he's being asked to stop all of it, to stop the whole movement. And in the end, he says, yeah, that's not my decision to make. I can't make justifications and weasel myself out of my obligations. I have an obligation to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. I'm going to do it no matter what the cost is. That's a very difficult statement to make. And I'm going to take it out of sort of the severity of the situation just to bring home a message which I think we can all learn from, which is sometimes we convince ourselves of really great and noble causes which justify us to not do the right thing. Maybe it means, not telling someone about something they should know because it'll hurt their feelings, and therefore they'll just continue doing the wrong things. Or maybe it's not going to Minyan because you think you have to stay home and help with the groceries. They need me to do the groceries really badly. Or whatever it is. Everyone has their own justifications that they think, this is a really important thing, so I can not do this mitzvah this one time, or I can skip on going to this class, or I can skip on calling my parents because they'll understand I'm doing this thing instead. Right? Everyone has justifications that we do, that we come up with, even if it seems like a very good justification. Even if you think you could outwit the best lawyer with this excuse. Says Avram Avinu, I went into the Kivshan Ha'esh at the expense of the entirety of Judaism, because that's what I was supposed to do at that time. I was supposed to do this mitzvah, and I'm not going to make an excuse to justify why I shouldn't have to do this mitzvah. A very powerful lesson, much easier said than done. And especially in the case of Avram Avinu, you can't even imagine how difficult that situation is. So three ideas. Number one, we saw from the Yehudi HaKadosh, the Yid HaKadosh, that we should treat ourselves like our children. We should treat ourselves as if we are the culmination of our parents' upbringings, of our grandparents' upbringings. We are that child that's supposed to be the upstanding Jew. Of course, we have to teach our children too, but that's not why we're doing things. We're doing things because we have to be good Jews too. And then we saw from the Dor HaFlaga, Safa Achat, that we have certain things that we are speaking about, speak about them from the depths, especially if they're important things like values and like davening, speaking to Hashem. It shouldn't just be on the surface level in our sfatayim, but rather it should be from our lashon, from the depths, from inside of who we are. And then lastly, to not justify things, to not justify not doing mitzvahs, even if we think something is a noble cause, we should be doing instead. Shkayach, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Parshas Noach, Mirtz Hashem. can live up to Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya Bidorosav, even in Dorosav. Okay, Shkayach.